think we're ready to start. I have to talk into this microphone so the recording will work. And I'm just saying that, so when you talk, you have to talk into that microphone so the recording will work. So before we start, if Kelmoku will pull it for us. Use this one. You want everybody to stand up?
Okay. Aloha mai kakou. My name is Kelmoku Kabu. I'm the CEO for Ahamoko Maui Inc. And our kuleana is basically to try to incorporate traditional resource management by using mana'o, the past, and people of the generational knowledge of those areas from Pumana all the way to Hukumihame. So without further ado, mahalo ke akua, mahalo me kanani kamoko makua kalani ho kipa mai a makua pau. E ho olo olo mai ka mako mana'o. E ko upu mai ka ia ne ke iala, a maula a e me ko makana na awau. We bid you in grace, we thank thee, Heavenly Father, for keeping us in your kindness as well as keeping our thoughts in the divine care. We praise your name each day for the wisdom and the knowledge that you bestow upon us. We ask you, Keakua, to provide us with the ike at this time so we can look at our vision for tomorrow on how we need to prosper from one generation to the next. We mali keakua e mali e nakupuna. Mahalo for this time of us gathering. Amen.
Aloha, I'm Pua Ayu. I work for the Department of Transportation, and I'll be facilitating today, which means I got to use plenty hands. We're really grateful that you guys all came to tell us your comments, because this meeting is mostly to get your comments on the Honoapi'ilani Highway and how we can fix it and make it better. So the agenda today is going to be on the project presentation. I'm going to read off of here because I can't see that too well. So we'll go over the meeting procedures really quickly. We'll do introductions of our team. We'll go over the purpose of the meeting and the project overview and timeline, because the timeline is going to be very important for those of you who want to make comments to understand the timeline. Now I cannot see. We'll do an overview of the EIS and the EIS process. That's okay, we're fine. So the EIS part of it was the purpose and need of the project, lead cooperating and participating agencies, and the EIS studies that we'll be doing. And you're welcome to comment on all of this, right? And then the alternatives. We'll go over the four alternatives that we have. And then the most important thing is we'll take your comments. And if we can answer your comments, we will. Sometimes we won't have answers for them, and we'll just let you know. But all of your comments will be taken into consideration as we go through the process. So it's very important that you do comment. So today, just to make it comfortable for everybody, if you can mute your phones, and if you have comments to each other, if you could keep those quiet so that it doesn't distract from people who might be saying something, please be respectful and courteous to everyone else. We don't have a huge crowd, but if you can limit your comments to about 3 minutes, and then you can come back and talk again once everybody has had a chance. That allows everybody to have their say. And then just remember, this is an opportunity for us to hear from the public, and that's really important. So we want to make sure everybody has a chance to talk. And so that's all for me. And now we'll call up Robin to introduce our team and go through the first part of the presentation.
Hi, good evening, everybody, and thank you again for coming to our meeting tonight. So just a quick introduction of our team. We have our newly appointed director, Ed Sniffen. For Hawaii Department of Transportation. I'm Robin Chishido, the Deputy Director for Highways for HDOT. We have Annette Matsuda, she's our Acting Maui District Engineer. And we have Genevieve Sullivan from our Planning Branch, she's the Project Manager. Pua introduced herself, she's our Cultural Resource Specialist. Ken Tatsuguchi, the Planning Program Manager for our Planning Branch. We have two preliminary engineers, Brian Tiao and Dean Matsui. From our federal highway partners, we have Rochelle Takara, the division administrator, and we have Lisa Powell right here as the project manager. From our WSB consultant, we have Wayne Yoshioka, project manager, sitting back there. Dexter Edgy, civil engineer lead. We have Peter Leibowitz, EAS lead, Matthew Small back here, and Scott Keller, Nick Fazio, and Melissa Lan. Next slide. So the purpose of this scoping meeting is to explain the project and let you everybody know where we're at within the EIS process. And most importantly, you know, we want to get your comments that can help the project team make decision as a project moves forward. There is a project website, and there's a lot of information on there, a lot of project documents. So we really ask everybody go to the website, take a look at what all the work that's been done so far. Next slide, please. Oops. Oh, one more thing. When we ask for input, you know, things we're looking for is on the purpose and need, the alternatives that, you know, we have proposed, the screening criteria that we're going to be using for selecting, and also the topics that we're going to be studying, which we'll get more into details as we get through the presentation. So specifically, this project is to address the coastal erosion and the flooding that's been happening over here in this stretch of the highway. So it's from about milepost 17 to milepost 11. And again, a lot of project documents are on the website that people can take a look at. Next slide. So why this project? So anybody who lives here knows that over the last 10 years or so, there's been a lot of storm events that has caused the erosion and issues on this roadway. Right now, we are looking at a interim short-term project to address the immediate coastal erosion area right about milepost 12 and a half to about 14. HDOT, we did a study in 2019 and 2021, and in both of these studies, stretches along Honopiolani Highway was recognized as high priority areas. And also with this project, last year we got a raise grant for $22 million, and you know, we got a lot of support from congressional delegation, the visitor industry, Federal Highways, Maui County, and even the community members submitted letters of support, so really appreciate that. And also last year, Senator Schatz gave us a $23 million earmark for this project as well. So even up in, you know, DC, they recognize the importance of this project. Next slide, please. So right now in the overall project timeline, we're done with the early scoping and we're just starting the environmental impact preparation phase. And so that's where we're at. And I'll turn it over to Genevieve. She can get more into the details.
Thanks, Robin.
Sorry, I forgot to tell you where the bathrooms are. The men are on that side, if you could use that door, and the women are on this side, if you can use this door.
I'm just gonna stand here. I don't think so. Is this right? Okay. Okay. Good evening. Oops. Okay, there we go. All right, so this, I think that's okay. Thank you. So this is a part of the presentation to explain the environmental review process that we're currently in. And this graphic here, it shows the overall timeline for NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, and HEPA, the Hawaii Environmental Policy Act. And because our project is using both state and federal funds, we have to follow both of these regulations. So for the past year, we've been in this pre-NEPA scoping period. We've been meeting with community members, stakeholders, and agencies to research and gather information that was put together in the NEPA Notice of Intent, shown here as the NOI, and the HEPA Environmental Impact Statement Preparation Notice, shown as the EISPN. And the publication of these two documents starts the official environmental review process that we are in now and the comment period. December 31st is the end of this statutory comment period. And in about a year, we will have the draft EIS, and the final EIS will be published in June 2024 so that we can meet the deadlines stipulated in the RAISE grant. This is an even more detailed overview of the EIS process. It shows that in February, we had two town hall virtual meetings. We received a lot of helpful comments that were incorporated in the NOI and the EISPN. And once again, this was recently published, kicking off the statutory comment period that we're in now. So that means that the comments that we gather today and the responses to those comments will be incorporated in the draft EIS. The draft EIS will also include environmental studies, a preferred alternative, at which time there will be another 45-day comment period and a public hearing. And although we are working in this prescribed EIS framework, we do want to make it known that we're also available for smaller meetings, and you can always go to our website to leave comments and look for project updates. So these are all of the anticipated project permits. There's a lot, and our initial take is that there will likely be 20 or more county, state, and federal agencies that have some level of permitting and approval to implement this project. And this list also informs the cooperating and participating agencies as defined by NEPA. So FHWA and HDOT, as the lead agencies, we sent out letters to some of these sister agencies requesting that they be cooperating or participating agency. And a cooperating agency has direct jurisdiction for this project. The aim is that we share information and studies, do joint site visits together, and meet often. Whereas participating agencies are broader than cooperating agencies, and they have an interest in the project, and they help identify issues of concern and make sure that information is shared. And all of this is also laid out in our coordination plan, which is found on our website. Okay, so the project purpose and need. Developing a purpose and need statement is another NEPA requirement. The intent here is to have a measurable statement that explains why we are doing this project and what we are trying to prevent from happening. Our primary purpose, project purpose, is to provide a reliable transportation facility and to improve the highway's resilience by reducing its vulnerability to coastal hazards. Specifically, the project is intended to address existing coastal erosion and flooding, as well as future coastal erosion and flooding caused by anticipated sea level rise. We use the Hawaii Climate Commission sea level rise exposure area to define this. And the project purpose came out of this need, which is that the highway is vulnerable to coastal hazards. This is evident to you all, I'm sure. And once again, we know this because of all of the public input that we received and those emergency repair projects, as well as our vulnerability studies. So some other secondary objectives that came out of our early consultation process is provide regional transportation system linkages. And with that, we mean that the aim of our project is to link up with the existing Lahaina bypass to the north and to be consistent with the new road and highway improvements that have occurred over the last decade. We also have conform with regional and land use plans. So we are heavily reliant on the West Maui Community Plan update. The Paliatapuʻamana Parkway Master Plan is something that we use to identify all of our alternatives, and the MPO's Hele Mai Maui Long Range Transportation Plan. The aim of our project is to align and support these local plans. Technical studies will be done for many of the topics on this slide. For example, we'll be doing flora and fauna studies, wetland delineation report, looking at threatened and endangered species, as well as archaeological studies, as we understand there are many important environmental and cultural resources in the area. So as you review this list and look at the detailed information on our project website, remember that this scoping is an opportunity to confirm that we have the right list here and to suggest additional areas of evaluation. And then I just want to direct you to this MetroQuest poll that is available now. This is a tool that we hope it makes it easy for you to submit comments. It allows you to comment over everything we just went over, the purpose and need statement, the project objectives, the EIS topics, and these markers at the top that say environmental, cultural resources, safety, bike ped, you can drag and drop them onto the map in a specific location and leave your comment there. So we hope that you'll use this tool to submit comments as well. And now Robin will go over the alternatives.
All right, so this is a range of the alternatives that would be considered in the EIS, also including the no build alternative. And so when looking at these alternatives, you know, questions to ask is, you know, does the alternative reduce the highway's exposure to the sea level rise exposure area? Does the alternative, you know, is it financially feasible and will it fit within the funding streams that have been identified? Are the environmental impacts going to be able to get mitigated? And does the alternative, you know, meet the current design standards, you know, looking at the horizontal and vertical alignments? And does the alternative going to have sufficient right-of-way? What the right-of-way footprint is going to look like? So that's things we want to consider. Next slide. So as for the screening, you know, there'll be a two-step, you know, again, does the alternative meet the purpose and need? And step two, you know, which alternative provides the best balance of the project goals and environmental considerations? And so in the notice of intent that was published in the Federal Register and also on the project website, there's a lot of information in there that you can go to and look and, you know, help with the evaluation. Next slide. So it's alternative one, and a lot of these alternatives were adapted from the county's Paliatapuʻamana Master Plan from 2005. So in this first alternative, it was the coastal or the Mauka, I mean Makai alternative. In Laniopoko, generally follows the existing highway utilizes the right-of-way, and as we get to Oluwalu, it moves a little bit more Mauka, goes behind, or Mauka of the Kapa'iki neighborhood. And as we head towards Ukimehame, it just generally follows the existing alignment and stays within state and county-owned right-of-way. Next slide, please. And this alternative, same thing in Laniopoko, generally follows the existing alignment. In Oluwalu area, goes even a little bit further Mauka, and Ukimehame area, again, stays within the county-owned and state-owned right-of-way. And this alternative three, real similar to alternative two, except in Oluwalu, it goes even further Mauka, and in Ukimehame follows the general right-of-way, a general alignment, staying within county and state right-of-way. And in our fourth alignment here, fourth alternative, it's the most Mauka alignment we have, gets the roadway out of the sea level rise exposure as much as possible. And as you can see by Ukimehame, it goes a lot more Mauka than the other ones, and it ties back in right about where the firing range is. And so here we're generally in state county owned right away. In all the alternatives in the Oluwalu area, it is through private property, so there will be some acquisition that is needed. And that's kind of a general overview.
Okay, so at this point, we're ready to take your questions, and then when we're done, we'll just go back over the planning process. So if you want to come over here, am I right? Am I supposed to go on? Okay. If you want to come over here, you can use this microphone. Come. No, we need you to talk into the microphone for the recording.
Super quick question was like slide two. I'm a sucker for details. So the primary purpose, and I noticed that word primary was on there. Are there some other purposes that are besides just that primary purpose of moving this because of sea level rise? Are there any other purposes that we're not aware of that are involved in this?
You want to answer that, Jen? There were some secondary purposes.
Yeah, I mean, I think the word primary is basically used because it's the predominant, the main reason that the project's being advanced and furthered. The other objectives that you pointed out to, there's sort of a stepping of additional benefits from looking at the potential alternatives and seeking to move the realignment inland. So I don't think there's really anything more sort of behind the notion of primary. That really is the purpose and need, and the other objectives kind of support that.
I'll run to you here.
You mentioned benefits in there. Sorry, sucker for details. So again, what are the benefits outside of moving this road for sea level rise that we're getting from this? I'm trying to be specific. I need some specifics if you can, if you don't mind, because I want to be educated about this.
Okay, I mean, some other things, it's safety. You know, with this roadway, it'll be to the most current design standards. If you saw the typical section on the one slide, you know, it will be initial two-lane facility, and we're building the two outside lanes, so there'll be some, you know, separation between the opposing traffic. And, you know, that also helps with the congestion and, you know, traffic flow and things like that. So I think that's the secondary. And I think, Lisa, you mentioned one of the posters up there have some of those secondary benefits as well. Yeah.
So would it be fair to say for the record then that the only reason this road is getting moved is for sea level rise, safety, and to possibly hinder some congestion, or basically leave some congestion? That would be the scope of the reason. Is that fair to say, or is there any other reasons that we want to address?
The main scope is for to get out of the sea level rise, the inundation zone.
Got that, yeah. I just want to make sure that anything else. Thanks.
You're welcome. Who else has a question? I'll come to you.
I'm the second sucker for details. The picture before this, is there any way we can have a little more landmarks to exactly where these roads are? Like when we drive this road, we see Leotas and the firing range and things like that. So. My name's Allison Wolford.
We can do that on on other versions, but we can't do it now. Yeah, so the firing range is around in here. Yes. Okay. Comments. So did you hear that the MetroQuest tool has the satellite image so you can see where things are? And you can leave specific comments in there about that.
Yeah, thank you. Mark Dikos, I was just curious that the primary reason is to get out of the sea level rise zone. I'm just a little bit concerned that most of these alternatives, I mean, this is the, you know, this one still is in the Solarexa zone, at least 8%. And the Solarexa is the 3.2. And we know the 3.2 was from the 2014 worst case scenario, and the new NOAA models are showing 4 feet as the intermediate, the 80% probability. So if we go back, I don't know what the percent on the first alternative, it looked like it was at least 25% was in the Solarexa. Just seems that given the amount of money and the amount of effort to move this road out of the hazard zone, that 84% avoidance. Okay, you know, you basically, this is using 3.2, and that's the full flood. You know, it doesn't take into account what we're seeing now, which is the high tide, the spring tides and the storm surge, and which is having an effect. So I just, is there going to be sort of, is the EIS going to show perhaps different sea level rise models that maybe are more updated? And is that a concern if we're going to be in this situation again, possibly in 30 years?
Thank you for your question.
One thing that we can add to that is that because the agencies and institutions that are, excuse me? Okay, sorry, is that better? Yeah, I mean, the institutions and organizations that are behind a lot of that science are people that we're gonna work with as we develop the EIS. So if they want to sort of impart different levels of information that we should be considering, you know, they will be providing it to us, and we will be reaching out to them as participants in the process.
Just to address your concern about some of the alternatives still being the Solarexa, this indicates the horizontal alignment of the roadway. But there's also a vertical component as well. So if you may be horizontally still within the Solarexa, the EIS will look at alternatives. The part in terms of describing the alternatives will also look at the vertical location. So in other words, you may have to raise the roadway to be out of Solarexa. So again, hasn't been determined yet, but there are more than the horizontal component to look at, but there's the vertical component as well.
You, and then you can respond later.
Okay, I'm going to use that mic.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Art Palasigi, born and raised in Maui. But I have a solution to the problem of where the water coming over the highway by Okumehame, Olowalu, and Lanipoko. But I'm built on simple design on how to fix that problem, because this is a design to put on top of the wall, and the kind is like 180 with stainless steel pipes go up in it, and the water go back to the ocean. See that? You gotta use stainless steel or cobia, a big one, and you don't rust for like 40 years. Okay? That's my solution.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good evening, Jason Wolford. Question is in regards to the alignment so far that I've seen. We've talked about Ukamahame area. And the firing range is right there. So far, all of your designs either run through the firing range or above the firing range. Is that correct? Okay. Directly beside there, you have protected wetlands all through there. That's why the National Guard a year and a half ago tried to resurrect to be able to use their firing range there, a 600-yard range. And they were stopped from being able to do that. So I'm just kind of curious, if our military cannot use the wetlands, how are you even going to accomplish building a highway through wetlands?
So at this stage, we are still doing the studies and the wetland delineation report. We've gone out with the Army Corps, and you know they have their 404 permits. And so we are, I guess, exploring solutions with the Army Corps as well of what could possibly be done when it is identified as a wetland.
Okay. I was under the impression that it already is, because that's why the National Guard has stopped using facilities.
Not in the National Wetland Inventory, it is not.
Okay, who else wants to talk?
Thank you, Mark Degos again. I just wanted to address, I think the Solarexa does take in the elevation. And just elevating the road isn't going to address the erosion line hazard, right? That's gonna eat away at the foundation. So I think there's a great opportunity here to restore natural shoreline, which, I mean, we've lost 4 miles of beaches in Maui in the last few decades. So this is a rare opportunity. We have potentially, I guess, 7 miles of shoreline from Pumana to the Pali. So it's a great opportunity. Yes, we're putting people out of the hazard zone, realigning the highway, but there's a real opportunity to then restore that shoreline back to a natural shoreline, so allowing it to recede like normal shorelines do. And then, so I think as a second objective, I know it's not the primary, I think that restoration is of huge value to the people of Maui. And of course, having access to that shoreline as well from the new highway. But thank you.
Thank you. Who else?
My name is Chris Brown. I just have a quick question. Is the Ukamahame firing range going to be able to stay open, or will that have to be closed because of this realignment?
So it is our, so far, with all of the meetings that we've had, we're really trying to avoid the firing range. We know it's a really important recreational facility. There's these laws in the federal Section 4F. Which would basically make it impossible to go through the firing range anyway. So I would say that it depends on the alternative is the answer to your question. We're not there yet. We are trying to avoid the active firing range.
Hi, aloha, I'm Kahiki Niles from Lahaina. And Nikolai, if you guys already went over this, but I was just wondering, if the roads are going to be raised roads, like on pillars, are they going to be flat roads, like how the bypass is? Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, we don't know yet. Sorry.
But we are looking at all of those options.
Yes. Where it still is in the inundation zone, we would look at different ways to elevate it.
Aloha mai kako, kia moku. I know we're looking at, you know, the best way to try to figure out how these roads going to be put in. Similar to what's happening right now, although the bypass is in, you still get Nohono Pilani Highway on the bottom, which it doesn't alleviate anything. A lot of people rather use the bottom road and come out where it ties in, where it merges again. So that's kind of a major concern, because along the shoreline over there, you get a lot of recreational users that just basically jumping over the railing and doing whatever they please to do. Poor Mana is being inundated right now on shoreline erosion, and the county just basically shut down Poor Mana because of barrels, the 12 boxes that was reinterred at Poor Mana Park. And as you go towards guardrails, we have an old 1883 map that shows more additional graves alongside that area too, going towards Launiopoko. So anyway, from Poor Mana all the way to Olowalo, when you hit Olowalo, man, you guys got to have you guys' eyes on the ground, because there's a lot of anomalies. And I don't know whether or not you did some studies with Kipuka database. Will give you a kind of a background on how many land commission awards you may be impacting in that area. And with land commission award royal patents, you definitely going to find burials in that area. So I'm not trying to be the devil's advocate, but the bottom line, it boils down to when you do the feasibility study for this whole area, you got to kind of brush this with a fine-tooth comb, because all the way through Olowalo, you're going to come up with a lot of archaeological sites, possible burials, and all those things. Ukumihame, that's another issue, and I don't know whether or not Office of Hawaiian Affairs going kind of intervene, but that is ceded lands, and we've seen too much of our lands just basically being taken away, because those lands are supposed to be for the benefit of Native Hawaiians. Five ceded land trusts on health, housing, and education as well. So I really hope that something is really done, and to really look at this area as a primary resource. I know we talk about bringing back the natural beauty of the shoreline, and the trade-off for me is like, you know, we're going to bring back the shoreline, but we're going to create more mess up Mauka. So on the Ahamoko Maui, I like to still be a consultant all the way across the board when you guys get into these areas, and also work side by side with the archaeologists too. Thank you.
So thank you. You know that we have Aina Archaeology on this, and then we can discuss a lot of more of your concerns in the 106 consultations as well.
Archaeology, that's Tanya Lee Gregg. There's also two other archaeological data recoveries that was submitted, one by Paul Rosenthal back in the early 80s, I think. So there's a whole different scenario of archaeological data recovery that was basically done for the Olowalo area. And we all know what Olowalo is, right? The massacre of Olowalo. That was one of the most hardest things that our family still face today, when Metcalf came and slaughtered everybody in that area. So let's not forget about that when we start talking about safety and all those things. Let's talk about history. Let's talk about degradation. Let's talk about genocide. Let's talk about all those kind of things, because we can't just wipe these things clean and not think that this is important, because it's still important to us, the lineal descendants that are still here today. Thank you.
Mahalo.
My name's Darren McDaniel, for the record. Some of my friends call me Crazy White Darren. There's a reason behind that.
The reason behind is, and it's just I get a little choked up when I talk about this, because I guess everybody dies, we're all going to die, we're going to leave some legacy behind, and what we say means a lot. And how did we get here? Why are we in this position right now? And to me, it's pretty simple, and it's a curse I have. I can't stand it. It makes me crazy. 97% of the world counts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't. I count 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 256, 512. Same 10 periods, but one went from 1 to 10, and one went from 1 to 256. And that's something called exponential growth, and it's what's going on in our world, and it's what's causing all this. It's why we're here, and we're having to move this road, and it's the only reason we're here is because of exponential growth. And it's not a disease just to here to Maui. It's a disease all throughout the world. We're growing at 2.2%. If you look at the stats in Maui, I think it's close to 5, 6%. West Maui alone is just booming. So that's a population that goes from 50,000 right now. It's 160 in Maui. Now we're going to be 320. What's the doubling rate? Everybody know the formula for that? It's pretty simple. Take any growth rate, you divide it into 72. If we're at 2.5%, you divide it into 72, we're doubling almost every 30-something years. So when you take these metrics that were done in 2014, they're outdated because we haven't addressed the root cause yet. And when are we going to do that? When are we as a society, when are we as West Maui going to grow up and say, you know what, this is not how we should live. We got to figure out how to stop that growth. There's a planning commissioner that unfortunately is on this island that has this thing that growth is inevitable. Growth is inevitable. That's what she said to me. I wanted to throw up in my mouth when I heard that. It's not inevitable. All it takes is a human conscience to say, you know what, I'm going to be responsible for me and my community, and I'm not going to participate in this exponential growth. Frankly, the only people I want to see breeding these days are my Hawaiian friends, till we get a population back to more than 50% of Hawaiian blood on this island. You know, I don't belong here, but that's what's right, and that's what's just. And if those are the last words I say before I die, that's my legacy anyway, is that that's how I want to live my life, and I'd encourage everybody to stop looking at this, and when you're doing this, and if it's going to be built, that word sustainability, the greenwashing, man, if you don't address the growth, it's exactly that. It's just greenwashing, and that's what I asked. If this road's being built for growth, or there's any intention, if that's the last thing I can say to anyone on this planet, if you're like, oh, yeah, we're building this so it'll accommodate growth, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution at all. So I would really encourage you to think about that when you start and look at this project and say, how can we build this to make a sustainable community? And leave it at that. I'll stop it at that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I think your questions are better to the guy in red over there.
Aloha. Ovo'o namea aia mai lahaina mai. My name is Namea Aia Hoshino. Long-time Kuleana families from Lahaina. Was raised in Olualu as well, too, with my ohana da nohoi kaikas. You know, it's very hard to look at this plan because 20 years ago or more before that, a hospital could have been built and even live out the situation right now. But with these plans, it's very sketchy because what is going to be the next plans after this bypass, this road is being built? Because if you look into development coming up in Olualu, I won't support it. I won't support this because it's going to be detrimental to our resources, especially how much water that should be coming from Olualu. And Ukumehame, you know, we have families like the Palafox, Tosh, Ohanas that came to Naikane and mentioned that their aina is going to be in jeopardy. Yeah, they're going to have that road that's going to be above them, and we're right now, where the highway is right now, by Ukumehame, it's right next to them. And so I know that there was talks about it. Some of the families did come and mention about that. And so, you know, you guys are in a tough spot. Like for me, you know, if sea rising coming, it's coming. There's nothing that we can do about it. I tell you that. But if we continue to push this type of thing that's gonna hurt us and the next generation, yeah, that. I think now we're having talks about the hospital that's coming up right now. It's really a pushback and a slap in our face that should have been talked about way before this. That should have been talked about. The hospital should have been talked about, because it alleviates all the things that's what we have here on Maui. We only have one hospital. And still we didn't make the choice of building a hospital in Lahaina. And so that's my concerns and my comments.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you. I don't want to hog the mic here, but Mark Dekos again. And I mean, certainly all the cultural aspects need to be taken into account. I'm not an expert in that. And hopefully there's an alignment that can mitigate those impacts. But again, this stretch we're looking at here, Oluwalu, it is adjacent to one of our prized possessions, the Oluwalu Reef, which has been slated as the number one priority for restoration and protection. It's 1,000 acres. Certainly the existing highway is impacting that with the shoreline hardening. But with the realignment, whatever that realignment ends up being, I know there is some discussion with other stakeholders where there could be some added value. So you're basically making a line across there. The biggest threat to the reef there is sediment runoff from brown water, stormwater events. So when you run a line across there, you have an opportunity to intercept that and prevent that from reaching the reef. So whether that's slowing, an Army Corps has a tendency to direct that water to a stormwater channel as quickly as possible so that it shoots out to the ocean. We know that the impacts that has. So if there's opportunities to design it where you're slowing, spreading, soaking that water so the sediment is trapped, it then recharges the aquifer, which is another huge benefit to that. I just think there's, design value to address not just, a low impact realignment, but to address the stormwater, possibly a fire break, maybe, some vegetation on that Mauka side that can prevent the fires from coming down. And then, on the Makai side, I know that's not your guys' purview, but there's been talk about restoring the wetlands down there so those become functional again. And I just hope that's part of the big picture when either part of the EIS or part of the design process, and those stakeholders that have knowledge, perhaps a private public partnership so that you can leverage funds in the design so that you can achieve multiple benefits, not just protecting the drivers. Thank you.
Thank you. Those are very helpful comments for us.
Okay, mahalo. Kiamoku kapu again. Mahalo for all this mana'o that's being shared. So I'm going to give you a perfect scenario. Once the bypass from Lahaina Luna to Launiopoko, everybody, commercial industries, will hit the shoreline. So we're talking about regenerating the shoreline. I like what Dave said, because we got to address the population growth, because we get people coming not just from Lahaina, but more from the other side, yeah? And they're operating surf schools abundantly along the shoreline. So how are we going to take care of our shoreline if we're going to allow those things to happen? Once you put in the bypass, most definitely. I see Oluwalu. I know what their plans are. They're trying to push the bypass marker so they can privatize their beaches. So these are the kind of things that we always get left out, us, all of us, the community, the people that live there, the people that have been living there for generations. And we're tired of being second-class citizens already. So bottom line, I'm letting you know, if you guys are going to create something, is that road going to disappear? Because that's the only way that thing is going to ever alleviate any kind of issues. But then at the same time, again, you got to figure out what kind of anomalies you're going to hit Mauka when you start doing the Mauka realignment. So it's like on double-edged blade over here. You guys got to be real maka'ala and have some future plans that will be, yeah, like how Mark was talking about, replenishing the shoreline. Once this road is put in, watch everybody nail the damn shorelines, everybody. Right now, Ukumihame, they already get them, loads of them. You get kayak tours, you get longboards, you get people going in areas that they never went before. All our core grounds, all our fishing grounds are being destroyed. Why? Because you get people who feel they have the public right to do whatever the hell they like commercially. So if you're going to address these kinds of things, address the population growth, adjust to figure out how you're going to downsize on this, a CORA study was put together by the county to try to address those issues pertaining to these so-called operation companies that are dating our shoreline, and nothing has been done yet. So it's just a kind reminder. Yeah, we're looking at the best possible solution for everything, but I see more problems than solutions. Thank you.
Okay, mahalo. We need all of those comments, so thank you.
Jason again. Looking at your timeline here, you have construction slated at start in 2025, is that correct? If everything goes as according as planned. How do you view that construction work being done? Is that going to be started after the bypass, the north end of the bypass is finished? Because we're going to have to deal with construction there, the construction of the bypass, which is supposed to be done or should have been done long ago and still hasn't done yet. And I understand that project is already shovel ready and there's supposed to be money for that. So are we going to have to deal with traffic from Ukumahame all the way to the bypass? And then as we try and go north to our homes again, deal with even more construction and more congestion? Has that been taken into consideration in your start plan of the construction?
Thank you. I think Robin's going to answer.
Yeah, so right now for Honopialani Highway, it's only this southern portion that's under design and construction. That north part you mentioned, there was a EIS done, I think, in 91, and something else was done later on. But that one right now, we started some preliminary design, but we stopped as we try to focus here on this south portion. So right now, this is the only section. Yeah.
So why is this project not being done? Now you're jumping ship to another project.
Yeah, over the...
Still haven't even finished and completed what you've already started. How are you going to finish this project in your timeline?
I mean, over time, over time the priorities have changed, and you know, now with the sea level rise and what the coastal erosion to this highway, so that's where this project has come. You know, as we mentioned, the funding that has come in.
So is the funding from the bypass going to be diverted to this?
There is some. So, you know, the legislature, they passed the car rental surcharge several years ago, and that funding was coming in. So some of it will have to be used for the state match that comes with the federal funds. Right now,
if it's a state law that those funds are used for that, how can those funds be diverted if the state law states what it must be used for? How are you getting around state law?
So the legislature, I believe the state law was, car rental surcharges for highway funds. It was, statewide. Generally, it was going to stay in the state or the county that was generated, but it wasn't specific to any project.
Okay, so I was misinformed then by my representatives that it was not earmarked for that.
My predecessor discussed it before she left. When we passed the rental car tax law, it was for the Lahaina Bypass North. So to say it's completely dead, no, we're not. We're going to definitely be, the good representative and I are going to be having this conversation, Robin, at the legislature this session, because the Lahaina Bypass North was supposed to be ready to go. I mean, you said EIS was done. You guys had your website a little while ago. You were before COVID. You were looking to put it out for RFP for construction. Now, I understand that we have to deal with the ocean, the situation, but, you know, you can't just simply say, okay, well, we're not going to do that at all. And you have a hospital, you have DHHL Honokauai project. Mm-hmm. You got Pualelehua coming up there. So we're going to definitely need to have this discussion this session. And I've already been talking with my colleagues about it. And a good representative over here has been as well. So I know we're here for the NEPA for this. But there's no hard decisions being made by the DOT unilaterally, okay, with all due respect. So, because at the end of the day, we passed this law in tax and rental cars for specifically like the gentleman said. So you can't just simply pull the plug. And Paia Bypass, by the way, which I know is on the tip on some of the out years, doesn't even have any identifiable route, no buy-in from the private landowners. And I'll just say this for the NEPA record. You're being really unrealistic if you think you're going to get construction going by 2025. You've got a lot of issues. Kim Oku just touched upon some of them already. You've got cultural issues. The original bypass, this phase here, was set back because of the archaeological terraces. And so you had Brendan Morioka had to sit down with the Native Hawaiian community, and they had to do a realignment of it. And so I think realistically, you know, you're going to have to be more realistic in the timeline. Meanwhile, you have a shovel-ready project ready to go. And I am going to continue this conversation with our new Congresswoman, Takuda, who we took up to the line to Kiawe Street. All of our growth is occurring up there right now and proposed to go up there. Are we going to tell the beneficiaries for Honokauai lots that they're, no, you guys are going to have to wait because there's no alternative access potentially for you guys to tie in? I mean, so it's not a done deal. I respect the fact that we're here just for this and the NEPA, but I want to make it clear from the policy making, the legislature, or the House and the Senate, that, you know, getting the bypass north going has to still continue to be a priority. So, but I appreciate the fact we're here for this. To get back to the NEPA and this, I think your timeline is highly unrealistic. I don't think you'll be doing construction by 2025. I mean, look at all the agencies you got to consult with. And Kaimoku brought up, you're going to have to, OHA's going to be involved. There's ceded lands on there. It's maybe not in the wetland inventory right now, but if there's potential for wetland restoration, is that going to trigger potentially additional federal permits or lengthening of the time? So, I mean, I think that as you discuss the alternatives, you should probably look at the fact that to do this project, you may need to piecemeal it out. You may need to look at areas on the alternatives that aren't going to be so involved. I mean, you just hit the little bit of the surface today. And then there's the issue of decommissioning the 16 road, which has been brought up. Are we going to keep the seawalls in place that are causing all the erosion exasperation, or will there be a plan for removal of the walls and or partial the road so that you eventually only have one route going on the Mauka and not have two roads? If it's not, and you guys are going to be keeping that lower road, what is the game plan for keeping it in use? It's going to be more seawalls and hardening. I think the community is not going to be very happy about that, and they're going to be consulted. So, you know, again, it's the first step for this project alone. But, you know, I think that we want to discuss the fact that we've worked hard over the years for Lahaina Bypass North, and we simply are not just going to toss it aside. So appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for those comments. We'll keep them in. Let's try and stay on topic, okay?
Takei Mokum, guys, just real quick, and Mark Dikos, it's really a pleasure to put a name with a face because I recognize that Mark's been doing a lot of work out there on that reef, and I've dived out there a lot. And, you know, when you talk about taking care of the Aina, that's one thing that I look at that road as being a horrible, horrible design from the start. It was so close to the ocean. So if you were to ask me if I'm a proponent of moving the road, I actually am. Because of the fact I see the brake dust, the petroleum. Every time I roll by Ukamehame, how many people see Uncle washing his car in the stream? And then you see all the uncles right next door fishing out there. And you're like, God, you know, just heartbreaking. You know, it's all that petroleum going in there and just killing off every reef and everything else. So I am a big proponent of moving the road, actually. Taking the growth thing and getting off topic out of the equation, which is very relevant, mind you.
good. It must suck to be in your shoes. I'm so sorry. You guys got one hell of a job over there. Let's keep it real. But move the road. But yeah, why don't you get rid of that purpose of doing it for Sea Rise and make it 100% about improving the environmental and cultural impact of the lower road. Just keep it that. Our entire intent to move that road is because we want to improve the environmental and cultural impact of that road. Now, that's a tough one with the cultural impact. That's why I'm saying it's hard to be in your shoes. But otherwise, I would encourage you guys to consider that. I think that that's the right way to go right there, is do it for the environmental and for the cultural impact, not just from the sea level rise. Just do it for the reasons, for the right reasons.
Thank you for staying on topic.
I know you guys talked about funding and all that, federal money. So does that mean that once those money come in, you guys going to have to be compliant to the 106 consultation process? And if so, we're at a party. Mahalo.
Yes, we will, and we know you're the party.
Thank you, Mark Deagles again. Just two questions. One, is the EIS just going to deal with the realignment, or is it going to include any of the Mackay portion, like the P2P plan area? And question number two, just following up on our representatives, is there any plan for the lower road that you can discuss here, or alternative plans for the lower road? Thank you.
I think the it has been brought up repeatedly by yourself and others during tonight's session as well as the virtual sessions yesterday. So it definitely will be something that has to be discussed in the EIS and explained, you know, how and what the opportunities are and what the anticipated change would be and how that might unfold. But it's not really a determination that we can make, you know, now. Sure. If you want to add anything else.
Yes, we're just working with the county as well on that.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard that, but you know, obviously, this is something that has to be done in consultation and coordination with the county.
You want to say something, Auntie? No, not yet. You're good. Okay. Any more comments? Okay. Well, then we'll go over the last couple of slides. And again, thank you all for your comments, for all of your comments, and for taking the time to come out and talk with us today, because it's really important for us. So, there we are. So as we said before, we're over here at the 30-day scoping. Next, we'll move to agency scoping. So this is the statutory 30 days, but if you want to have other meetings with us, we're open to it. Genevieve will give you her email address and any other information, go talk to her. We can have smaller meetings. Kel Moku will be going through the 106, and so we'll be talking to you and your family, your ohana, for sure. So then here's some other ways. So www.honoapi'ilani highway improvements.com is our website. You can leave comments there. There's lots of space there to leave comments. You can get added to our mailing list if you aren't already on it. You can see projects announcements, which will be on our website or on the mailing list. So if you're on neither of those, talk to your friends. You can participate in the MetroQuest poll. You can find meeting announcements in the newspapers and contact information. Maybe talk to Genevieve or myself for contact information. Anything else that you want to add to that list? No? Okay. We were supposed to talk about this later. We already went through that. So mahalo, everybody, for your time again. Thank you.